Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
It's good.
What's going on?
Oh, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Coffee.
That's a bit
shocker.
Nice.
Yeah. I think this is my fifth for the day.
No, Lockie.
I'm not kidding.
That is crazy.
I know.
It's like lunchtime.
I know. Yeah, and so I think I was like up at like 8:30, so it's literally only like 4 and a bit hours. I don't know.
It's like 1 an hour, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, how funny.
Mm. I was Googling though, and it said like, you know, like you're obviously a healthy amount of caffeine is however many milligrams or whatever, and 6 cups of coffee is that, like, that's the threshold for a healthy amount. So I might be in the clear here. I don't think I ever have more than 6.
Gosh. Hey, wait, does it keep you up? And, like, can you have coffee at night? I feel like we've spoken about this before.
Well, I have been having one or two coffees at about 3 or 4 o'clock. And I definitely have nights where I'm up till midnight. Like, and last night was one of those nights. I was like, yeah, probably awake till midnight. And I just couldn't get to sleep.
So, like, sorry, 4 o'clock is like your cutoff?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I told you this, I think I've told you this before, that I can drink coffee at like 10 p.m. and go to bed at like 11 and I'm out. It's so weird. But I need it in the morning, but I like have it for fun at night. It is so weird.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Isn't it? I think it's all mental. It has to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For me anyway, so.
Mm.
Crazy, what else has been going on this week? Did you get to Target?
Yes, I went to Target yesterday and I was a bit disappointed because it looks like it's already switched over to Anko. So, like, there wasn't that much on special and it was, like, already half turned into a Kmart. But I'm, like, really confused as to what's happening.
Same with me. I wanted to talk to you about it because I had seen, I don't know if it was on Instagram or TikTok, but I'd seen, like, a reel about how Target is now stocking all of Kmart's stuff, but it's the same stuff at Kmart. Like, it's the Anko stuff, but it's not even like different Anko stuff. It's all the same.
So a Target's still going to be called Target? Like, that's what I'm confused about. What's the point? May as well make all the Targets Kmart's.
Exactly. That's what I think. And you need some variety. Like, oh, anyway, I was a bit annoyed as well.
I really like Target clothes, so I hope they don't get rid of that.
So many people have said that because the quality is just so much better. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, all my work pants, work jeans, all that I get from Target because they're, like, so good. Like, I have this pair of black jeans that I wear to work and they are, like, they were, like, $40 jeans and they are the best fitting jeans ever.
Wow. Mm. See, I have not bought pants or jeans from there. I should check it out.
Yeah, really good.
That is so good. So you didn't find anything?
Mm-mm. I just bought, like, stuff that wasn't on sale, really. Like, just bits and pieces.
I haven't been shopping for so, like, actual out to the shops for so long.
Mm.
But, yeah, I was going to try to get there this weekend, but I was so lazy yesterday. But Vic's getting his hair cut today. So I'm thinking once I drop him off, I might head to the shops because I'll have a few hours up my sleeve. But, yeah, so that's my plan for the rest of the day.
Cool. Very nice.
You know when you get Olive's haircut, do you tell them, like, what sort of cut you want? Like, do they ask you or they just know?
No, we just do the same as, like, we've used our groomer pretty much since we got her.
Yeah.
Her first groom we got somewhere else, which was a disaster, and then we've used Sarah ever since. So she's been with us for 4 years. I think for the first few times I definitely was, like, trying to explain to her what I wanted. But, yeah, like, she cuts her. Like, I think when I was like, no, I want, you know, her longer around the eyes, whatever, it always grew out really weird. She cuts her, yeah, like, perfectly that when it grows out, it still stays all even.
Oh, that's so good.
So I don't even, like, she just picks her up and she does it at our house. So she just takes her out and does it and I don't even say anything.
Like, oh, that is so good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I've been going in the same place as well with Victor for years. Like, I don't know if you remember that time that we actually got someone come to our house, Lockie. Mm. It was the biggest disaster I've ever seen. Like, I can't, it didn't even look like Victor. But anyway, so ever since that particular time, we've always gone to the same place. And the guy's amazing. But I do sometimes, like, mix it up because I find, obviously, like, photos online. And I'm like, oh, can you sort of do this? Like, I always just say, like, a teddy bear cut with short ears. Yeah. Yeah. So I like his ears quite short. But I've just found this really cute photo. So I'm thinking I'm going to actually show them a photo today. I don't know how it's going to go. And do you know what else I'm going to do today? I'm going to leave his legs a little bit like furry because he always looks like he's got these extra skinny legs. So I saw a dog yesterday that their arms were still like a little bit furry. So I'm going to test that out today as well. So yeah, hopefully it works out good. But yeah.
That's funny. I think I told you, but we're going going away in a few weeks, and Olive's groomer is watching Olive for the week because they like
really
Sarah and Olive just love each other so much, like you know, like so I feel cute. Like she knows her, she's comfortable with her, like you know, and I know obviously Sarah knows how to look after dogs, but Olive had to go for like a meet because Sarah has her own dog, so Olive had to go and meet the other dog to make sure. Gonna be okay together. So she had that the other day and it went okay. Yeah, I don't know, if I wouldn't say Olive is a very friendly dog, so
yeah, neither is Vic. You know what, as the years have gone on, he's definitely become not as friendly. Female dogs he's okay with, he hates male dogs though, like with a passion.
He likes to be the only one.
Yeah, 100%. But yes, what else with you?
Not too much really.
You know, Lockie, actually, one thing I definitely want to tell you about. Mm-hmm. So have you seen that new doco on Netflix, American
Nightmare? Yes. I watched it this week.
Do you know, I knew the story because our absolute fave, like, real crime profile covered it a few years ago, and that's been on just like my list to cover. So when I saw it pop up, I'm like, no freaking way. I can't believe they did a doco on it. And to how wild is that story?
Oh, it is insane. That poor woman.
I know.
And the amount of times in her life she was sexually assaulted. And
no one believed her.
No one ever believed her. Like, that is just horrendous. And, like, Monkey didn't watch the whole – he only watched the last episode with me, but, you know, he was obviously, like, gobsmacked at her life and everything that's happened to her. But I think the thing I turned to him and said, like, they obviously went on to have two daughters. Imagine how on edge they're going to be raising two girls everything that happened to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But she's pretty grounded. Like, I feel like she's very tough. Like, the fact that she turned to the abuser in court and said, like, her name, like, nice to meet you, I was behind the mask. I thought that was amazing. But yeah, I definitely think we should cover it because it's something that I have been wanting. I don't know, were you aware of the case before this came out?
Not really.
So you should totally, if anyone has watched this and are into it, you should totally go and listen to Real Crime Profile's coverage on it because they go into a bit of detail about how he potentially might have gotten the ex-fiance's name through mail. Like, they go into a lot of detail about it.
Yeah.
So I would recommend listening to that. But yeah, I didn't know that they had done this docker, and I went on there to watch. What's that other? A few people have reached out to us through Instagram, like DMs. Danny's watched it. My mum's watched it. There's like a crime. It's not like a real, it's not like a doco, but it's like a series at the moment. I've forgotten what it's called on Netflix. And they've got accents. This is the only thing that I'll struggle with.
I have no idea.
There's some little series out at the moment, which I literally jumped on. I'm like, I'll watch one episode, see how I go. And this is at like 10:30, and that other doco popped up and I watched the whole thing. So I had to bed till very late last night.
What is it? I'm quite intrigued now.
It's about some lady that was like in the army. People are going to be screaming at me like, Karina, it's called this. And she was, I think she sees like through a nanny cam that her husband.
Fool Me Once.
Yes. Have you seen it?
Yeah, we finished it the other day.
And what did you think?
Are you finished it?
I haven't even started it. I don't know how I'm going to go because of the accents, because I always struggle.
It's very strong, like.
Yeah.
Whatever they, is it a, I don't even think, is it Manchester? I don't know, whatever. I think it's Manchester accent. Very, very strong.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't recommend? I've had so many mixed reviews. Some people can't get through it. Other people's like, it's amazing, you got to watch it. But yeah, I thought I would give it a go because there's a bit of a buzz about it. But yeah, I saw this and I picked that and ended up watching the whole thing. So
yeah, I mean, watch it, but I watched the ending and I was a bit like, well, I'm confused. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, it actually, logistically, the whole show doesn't make sense now. So, I don't know. Watch it and see what you think, and then we can talk about it. But,
yeah.
It's
cool.
All right. I think watch it, but, you know. Yeah.
All right. Don't say anything. I'll probably end up Googling the ending anyway, because we all know that I cannot sit through a show without knowing what's going to happen. But I will give it a whirl. Mm.
Yeah.
Should we get started? We do have a bit of a big one this week.
Yes, we do.
So should we get started, Lockie?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay.
All new at 4 o'clock, a jury in Austin has found a woman guilty of murdering a professional cyclist. 35-year-old Caitlin Armstrong has been convicted of killing cyclist Anna Mariah Wilson. The case led investigators on an international search. Armstrong was later found in Costa Rica. Prosecutors say she received plastic surgery in order to change her appearance. No word yet on her punishment. She could face up to 99 years in prison. The prosecution is not pursuing the death penalty.
All right, let's turn. So today we will be discussing the murder of Anna Mariah Wilson, who went by Mariah and was known as Mo. Which, how cute is that name? I don't know why.
So
I just feel
cute.
Like that's so freaking cute. Yeah. So Mariah was born on May 18th, 1996. She was born in Littletown, New Hampshire, and she grew up in Kirby, Vermont. Her mother's name was Karen and her father's name was Eric. Mariah had a younger brother named Matthew. The Wilsons were a family of athletes. Eric was a champion skier, and Mariah's auntie was a two-time Olympic cross-country ski racer.
Wow.
So very talented. So it's no surprise that Mariah was passionate about sports. She has said she could ski before she could even walk and started competing when she was just 7. From a very young age, she was a talented skier and achieved national recognition as a junior. She attended the Burke Mountain Academy and graduated in 2014. And already this school, doesn't it sound fancy? Like, it just sounds like a fancy school, right?
Yeah.
And it is. It's like a year-round private school in East Burke, Vermont, and it focuses on teaching and training alpine ski racing athletes on nearby slopes of Burke Mountain ski area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it literally focuses on. So Mariah was more than just a talented athlete. She was beautiful and intelligent. She literally was the complete package. In 2019, she graduated from Dartmouth. I can never say that. Dartmouth. Yes.
Dartmouth.
College.
Yeah.
Which is an Ivy League school. And she graduated with a Bachelor of Engineering. Now, during her time at college, she tore her ACL for a second time because she had torn it, I think, when she was a sophomore. So although she successfully worked her way back to full skiing, I think the time off had its setbacks.
Yep.
After graduating, she moved to San Fran and she started working for a bike company called Specialized. Now, this company is well known in the biking community and is renowned for designing, manufacturing, and marketing bicycles and related products. Growing up, Mariah was already involved in biking. In fact, her very first post on Instagram from 2013 was of her and some of her, like, she must have been quite young and she had, like, obviously her little friends there and they were all on bikes. So I just think that just ties it all together. So apparently mountain biking serves as a staple cross training activity for skiers, as it works the same muscles and offers a low impact workout. And remember, she was really into skiing, like competitively.
Yeah.
So Mariah loved training rides, and this was probably because she would beat both the boys and the girls on these rides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure if it was because of her job at Specialized, but in 2019, she was introduced to the niche sport of gravel racing. I didn't even know this was a thing, Lockie. Have you ever even heard about this?
No.
Yeah, neither. So it looks super tough. And for anyone wondering, the best way I saw it described is that it relates to anything unpaved. So this is like dirt, mud, service roads, rocks, that sort of thing. And it's somewhere between mountain biking and road racing.
Okay.
So Mariah started gravel racing on a part-time basis, but she quickly shifted to full-time competition, showing not only skill but exceptional talent in this sport. In her first race, she secured an impressive second place, establishing herself as a rising star. In April of 2022, Mariah smashed it in a major California competition. She won with an impressive lead of 25 minutes.
Wow.
I know. And by May 2022, Velo News recognized Mariah as the most successful woman in the American off-road scene.
Wow.
And keep in mind, she'd only been pro for like a few months at this stage. On May 10th, 2022, Mariah arrived in Texas to prepare for a race which was taking place on the 20th in Hico. Again, that's in Texas.
Yep.
She was favorite to win the race. And to save money, Mo decided to stay with her close friend, Caitlin Cash, in Austin. Now, as we have just introduced her, we have to, like, we need to come up with, like, another name to call her. So her name is Caitlin, but there's another Caitlin that's about to enter our story.
Okay.
And we don't want to get the two muddled. So I think I'm going to go by Cash.
Yep.
For Caitlin Cash, who is Mariah's friend.
Yep.
So Cash and Mariah's friendship had recently blossomed. Cash was also a part-time racer and was so inspired after witnessing Mariah in action during an event. She found her family and struck up a conversation, and the rest is history. Their bond grew so strong that they became like sisters and even spent Christmas 2021 together. Cash's apartment had a fancy door lock that required a key code for access. This lock allowed her to assign individual key codes to visitors and send her notifications when the door was locked and unlocked.
So cool. I want one of them.
Isn't it? I know. Mm. And this particular feature will become very handy later on. So while in Texas, Mariah had plans to meet up with Colin Strickland. Colin was a prominent figure in the professional cycling community. At 35, he was arguably the biggest star and the top male gravel rider at the time.
So both at the top of their game. What's the age difference?
Like 10 years. So yeah. At the time, Mariah is about 25, and I think her birthday's in about a week or so. So, you know, just about to turn 26, and Colin is 35.
Mm-hmm.
He was sponsored by major brands like Red Bull, which, as you can imagine, that is a massive sponsor.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lockie, this happened to pop up maybe because I was looking into this case this week, but this like article came up, right? And apparently someone tried to sue Red Bull for not giving them wings. How funny is that? Like,
that's like, did you ever watch that Netflix documentary about the guy that sued Pepsi because he had enough tokens to win like a fighter jet and they didn't give him one?
No.
You should watch it. It was really good. Similar situation.
That is, yeah, it's just funny what people sue, you know, major, like, companies over. So Colin and Mariah had initially met back in 2021, and they briefly dated for about a week in October of that same year when Mo was visiting Texas. They remained friends after this fling and would just trade advice on riding and like sponsors and things like that. Like you said earlier, they were both at the top of their game, so they probably just had a lot in common.
Yep.
At the time of this fling, Colin had just broken up or was on a break with his long-term living girlfriend. I was trying to put that friend's reference there for you. So. Yeah, so he was on a break with his long-term live-in girlfriend and business partner, Caitlin Armstrong. Colin and Caitlin got back together shortly after this breakup, but it seems as though they were one of those couples that were just like on again, off again.
Yeah. Never a great sign.
No, it really isn't. That is a major red flag. And a waste of time. Like, let's be honest, that is a freaking waste of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So Caitlin and Colin had met through a dating site in 2019. Although Colin wasn't ready for Caitlin to move in, he felt bad and offered her a place to stay when her house was damaged in the winter of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin also enjoyed cycling, and although she was above average, she was nowhere near in the same league as Colin and Mariah.
Yeah.
Caitlin was smart. She spoke several languages. She had traveled the world to learn and teach yoga. She held a realtor's license, owned two properties, and seemed to be financially savvy.
Yeah.
In contrast, Colin was just more hands-on, so it made sense for her to act as his manager. Which, again, bad idea mixing all these relationships, you know?
Yep.
So during COVID, Colin and Caitlin went into business together. They began flipping vintage trailers, combining Colin's tinkering skills. Apparently he talks about how he's, you know, he likes tinkering with things with Caitlin's experience in flipping houses and real estate. It seemed like the perfect match.
Yeah.
At the time of Mariah and Colin's brief relationship, Colin and Caitlin were still living together and they were running their business together. Caitlin was furious when she discovered that Colin and Mo had been dating.
Like in the past.
Yeah, this is in that October. So Colin and Caitlin broke up in October, and then Mariah and Colin started dating just for about a week or so, as I said, when she was visiting Texas. And then that obviously fizzled out. She probably went back to San Fran and Colin got back together with Caitlin.
But and when then she was pissed.
She was pissed when she found out when they were on a break that he was seeing Mo, right? So she was aware that he had, you know, went out on a few dates with her, and she was pretty pissed about it.
Yeah.
And she must have felt pretty threatened, considering Mo was stunning. The fact that she was 10 years younger and she was a rising star in this gravel biking community.
Yeah, I mean, she's, yeah, clearly jealous.
Yep. And on top of it, just to rub like a little bit of extra sand in Caitlin's wounds, Colin didn't like riding with Caitlin because she slowed him down. So could you imagine, he's now dating this chick that can keep up with him. He's 10 years younger. She's gorgeous. Like, you would definitely be threatened, right?
Yeah.
And on top of that, apparently this had been an issue in that October breakup. So they had broken up because Colin hadn't invited her to like some training event, or he didn't want to ride with her or something along those lines. That's what like initiated that breakup. And then he started dating Mo after it. So yeah, you could really see how this would be an issue in her mind, right? So Caitlin tracked down Mo's number and repeatedly called her to tell her to stay away from her man. I don't actually know what she said, but I'm just making that up. This is what I'm assuming she would have said, you know?
It's such a, like, it's a, I wouldn't say if it's pet peeve, but when people call their partners their man, I hate it. Like, I actually hate it.
Well, it's so cringe. It is so cringe looking.
So, red flag, another red flag there.
So, you know what? This is crazy, though. So, apparently, it's reported that Caitlin called Mariah so many times that Mariah had to block her number.
Oh, my God.
And can I just tell you, this is so embarrassing. Like, why would you do this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And not only that, but it's not just, like, what's she going to do? It's, shouldn't you be telling your boyfriend this?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it takes two to tango, you know?
Yeah. Although, I don't think he's in the wrong either. I think she's just a bit of a psycho.
A nut job, yeah.
Yeah.
After blocking Caitlin's number, Caitlin started following Mariah on Instagram.
Oh, my God.
Which freaked her out a bit. Because can you imagine? This crazy ex is calling you nonstop. You block her number and then she starts following you on Insta. Of course, you're going to be a little bit creeped out.
Yeah.
In January of 2022, Caitlin accompanied Colin to an event that Mariah was also at. It seems as though, and by this stage, January 2022, Caitlin and Colin are back together, right? Now, it seems as though it must have been super awkward because after the event, Mariah texted Colin. I'm going to read you the text, right?
Mm.
Hey, she wrote, I would like to talk to you at some point. I had originally texted you on Friday, but it appears my texts aren't going through again. This weekend was strange for me, and I just want to know what's going on. If you want to be friends, seems to be the case, then that's cool, but I'd like to talk about it, because honestly, my head has been going in circles, and I don't know what to think.
Yeah, so I get the impression from that text that she still likes him and doesn't really know what's going on.
Yes, and honestly, I think that this is proof that there is something else going on here because, and this sort of like makes me question what Colin's been saying to Mariah.
Yeah, or both of them.
Yes, exactly right. So yeah. He's definitely back in that relationship with Caitlin and then Mariah sends him this text. Now, Colin does reply the following day and this is his response, right? This is what he says. He says, hey, Mo, I feel very shitty for putting you in a position where you don't feel comfortable. Caitlin came along to the, what's a sick, that's what they've written, like I think that's like to the event, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
To go to a meeting about the Sprinters Spartan Hotel project. In hindsight, this was not a good idea.
See, but then I also, there's a part of me that thinks like, yeah, like he's obviously not being honest with both of them, but like, maybe this Caitlin is just overbearing and like, you know, like,
nah.
You don't think?
Can I tell you that there's a few things. One, if they are in a relationship, this text message that Colin has sent to Mariah does not imply that he's in a relationship with Caitlin. To me, he's leaving the door open. He should have said, like, hey, Mo, sorry to, you know, for putting you in a shitty position. I should have told you I was back together with Caitlin. Still would love to be friends or, do you know what I mean, talk about gravel racing. You know what I mean? Like, this message to her has completely left the door open.
Yeah.
And if you're Mariah, what the heck are you thinking? You're not going to think that's his girlfriend. They're still together. You know?
Yeah.
I've got a feeling that he's just said, listen, we run a business together. She still likes me. Like, you know, she's struggling with the breakup, but when, you know, we're broken up. So I do want to keep, do you know what I mean, chatting or getting to know you. This is just my feelings, what I get from these two messages.
Yeah.
And also it shows that Mo is so freaking mature. Even texting Colin this, right? And you can tell he's an absolute fuckboy from these messages.
Yeah.
And sorry, another thing, which I don't know if you picked up on. So did you see how I said in Mariah's message, she says, it appears my texts aren't going through again.
Yeah.
That's because Caitlin had been blocking her number on Colin.
Ugh.
Yes. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. There is obviously Caitlin is a little bit involved in here, but at the same time, Colin should have just laid all his cards on the table, said, I'm still in a relationship, but I'm happy to be your friend.
Mm.
Anyway, on May 11th, 2022, Mariah went, remember at this stage she's gone to Texas and she's staying at her friend Kesha's house. Mariah went out alone for a training ride. Later that afternoon, she told Cash that she and Colin had planned to go for a swim at Deep Eddy Pool and then grab some dinner up the road at Pool Burger.
Yep.
Colin picked her up at 5:55 p.m. on his BMW motorbike.
Cool.
Yeah, so cool, right? Colin dropped Mariah back home at around 8:35 p.m. And as mentioned earlier, we have this info thanks to that lock app.
Yep.
After dropping off Mariah, Colin pulled over a few blocks away and sent the following text to Caitlin. Hey, are you out? I went to drop some flowers for Allison at her son's house up north and my phone died. Colin must have felt pretty guilty because Caitlin had called him a bunch of times while he was out with Mariah, but he ignored them. And I'm guessing then he switched off his phone.
Yeah.
So he is in the wrong here. This, you know, like.
Mm.
So Cash got home a little before 10 p.m. that night. She was a little uneasy when she found that the door to her apartment was unlocked. She knew Mariah was home because of the notification she had received on her phone, but the house was dead quiet.
But that means that Mariah had used her code to get in or unlock the door.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that was off from memory. I don't think I've written it down, but I'm guessing I think it was about like 8:40. Let's just say around 8:40. So worried, Cash called out to Mariah. Initially spotting her legs on the bathroom floor, she assumed that Mo was stretching after a long ride, but as she got closer, Cash could see Mariah was lying in a pool of blood. She immediately started CPR and called 911. Paramedics arrived shortly after, but it was too late and Mariah was pronounced dead at the scene. And this is just a little bit after 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And in, like, the 911 call hasn't been released, but there are sort of, like, snippets of what was said. And one of the things, this literally breaks my heart, right, is that Cash says there's blood all over her face. I can't tell what's happened. She says, like, I had no idea. Like, she's like, did she fall and hurt herself? She could not figure out. Like, her mind couldn't make sense of this situation, like, what she was seeing.
Yeah.
Mo's death was ruled a homicide. She had been shot 3 times, twice in the head and once in the chest. The autopsy revealed that the third and final shot was to the heart and was fired while she was laying on the floor.
God.
I know. The police investigation began immediately. In the beginning, police thought that the motive may have been theft as Mo's bike was missing. And this bike, it's not just like a few $100s. It's like a very particular bike. Like it was worth like a small car. I think it was like $10,000 to $14,000.
Wow.
Yeah. This was quickly located up the street in some bamboo, which obviously ruled out the theft motive. Which at the same time didn't really make sense to investigators because why the heck are you going to go into the apartment to kill someone to steal their bike? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and, like, why was the bike moved anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and it's like confusing.
Yeah, and I think they're thinking at that time, like, are they trying to make it look like theft was the motive or do they have something with this bike? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Cash told police that Mo had spent the evening with her friend Colin and that he would have been the last person to see Mo. Early on in their investigation, police tracked down footage from surrounding neighbors and saw a black Jeep Grand Cherokee with a specialized bike rack circling the house where Mo was staying.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, police wanted to speak to Colin right away. when they arrived at his house the following day, they noticed a Jeep Cherokee in the driveway, exactly like the one they had seen in the neighbor's footage.
Yeah.
Colin was in his garage, probably tinkering away, when they told him that Mo had been murdered. The body cam footage, which hasn't been released, but it's been reported that Colin walked away and then whispered, "That's wild." After he found this out. Is this not? I don't know why I found this so funny, but this is what he whispered, you know. Yeah. Maybe he was in shock. Like, I shouldn't judge, because who knows? It is wild, you know, that he was just with her like a few hours, like, do you know what I mean, before that evening. So it is wild, but it's just a funny thing that he whispered. Colin agreed to be interviewed. They asked Colin about the black Jeep that was in his driveway, and he explained to police that it belonged to his girlfriend, Caitlin. They questioned him about his relationship with Mo, and he tells them that they're just friends, but they did have a thing a few months back.
Yeah.
He provided a detailed timeline of all his activities that day. Colin admits that he did lie to Caitlin about hanging out with Mo that afternoon, so this is just the day before, and that Caitlin had no idea that they were together, that, like, obviously Colin and Mo were together.
Mm.
He also tells police that he had saved Mo's number under and, like, another name. And this name, this is something I just want to talk to you about, right? So the name he saved it under was Christine Wall.
Why would you save it under another female?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. One, this is the stupidest trick in the book. Like, I don't even know why people still do this. And two, he's saving it under another girl's name.
Yeah.
Which sort of makes me think maybe, like, she just absolutely, like, maybe Caitlin just absolutely hated Mo. Like, it wasn't all females. This is just something against Mo.
Yeah.
He also admitted that he would delete all the texts so that Caitlin wouldn't see that they were obviously still friends, as she wasn't a fan of their friendship. When they asked if he owns any guns, he informed police that he had purchased two guns for him and Caitlin a few months back for protection. However, Colin expressed doubt, as he did not think that Caitlin was capable of murder. He described her as kind and sweet, even helping to look after his aging mother.
Yeah, right.
He didn't know Caitlin's whereabouts the night of the murder, but assumed that she was doing some yoga, as she had returned home with her mat. And, like, I don't want to call it a fun fact, but he also mentions that she had initiated rougher than usual sex with him when she returned home that night.
Ugh.
I know. I knew you'd love that. Police were able to verify all of Colin's movements through phone data and traffic cameras. After ruling Colin out, the investigators turned all their attention onto Caitlin. They found there was actually a warrant out for Caitlin's arrest. And honestly, if you think this story is crazy, wait till you hear about what the heck this warrant was for. So a while back, Caitlin had gone to get some Botox, and she had skipped out on the bill.
Ugh.
When she had gone to pay, she told staff that she had another card in her car and she wanted to pay with that card, and she was just going to pop out and get it, but she never came back. And, you know, this is so dumb, though, because she had left her original card there. So they had all her details. But obviously, maybe this isn't just something police aren't going to, like, waste resources, like, trying to track this chick down. They probably just thought, like, if we come across her, obviously, then we can, like, pick her up on it, but we're not going to go actively look for her.
Yeah, so, like, the warrant was just to get her on something. Is that why? Or, like, that was already out.
So this one, and I'm pretty sure it was years old. So there was a warrant out for her arrest at the time when this happened, because obviously this clinic must have popped, like they must have wanted to press charges or something. But police didn't go and pick her up at the time. I think they just thought, like, you know, if we pull her over, like, do you know what I mean? Like she's doing something in her car, like for speeding or something, then that's when they'd sort of like pick her up on this charge. But she hadn't, there hadn't been anything else in that time. So the warrant was out there, but no one was actively looking for her, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But police obviously think this is the freaking perfect opportunity to pick her up on something.
Yeah.
So they pick her up for this misdemeanor warrant for theft, right? And during this questioning, they confront her with the footage of the black Jeep circling the block and arriving moments before Mo was killed. Caitlin showed anger and frustration but made no statements. Apparently, she, quote, turned her head and rolled her eyes in an angry manner when told Colin was with Mo that afternoon. Now, unfortunately, because there was an error, or like it was her birth, it was like an error of her birth date on this warrant, they had to release her. Like they couldn't hold her for this particular, this digit error, which is nuts.
Yeah.
In the next few days, with a search warrant, they were able to locate the two guns Colin had purchased in his home. The ballistics of Caitlin's gun matched the three bullets that had killed Mo. Police also received anonymous tips that Caitlin had told friends that she wanted to kill Mariah when she found out that Colin and her were involved.
A freak.
I know. On May 17th, police issued an arrest warrant for Caitlin, but when they arrived at the property, Colin informed them that he had not seen Caitlin for days and he did not know where she was. You see, Caitlin had gone on the run. The day after she was questioned, she sold her Jeep for $12,000 and boarded a flight to New York, which stopped over in Houston. It's believed that she visited her sister, either obtaining or stealing her sister's passport. Using her sister's passport, Caitlin flew to Costa Rica, stopping in Janco Beach before heading to Santa Teresa.
Okay.
In an attempt to disguise herself, Caitlin cut off her beautiful, long, reddish, curly hair. And she is very attractive. Like, have you seen a photo of her?
Yeah, yeah.
She's beautiful. And her hair's not like a wild curly. It's like a really pretty curly.
Yeah.
Anyway, she cuts off her hair, she dyes it brown, and she sort of straightens it out. It becomes like really boofy. It looks like a, like, I don't know, like a, a blow dry, straight boofiness. I don't even know how to explain it. I'll post photos to everyone. Anyway, she lived and worked at a hostel and taught yoga. She used a bunch of aliases to get around, and some of these included Beth Martin, Ari Martin, Liz, like these are the names she's going by, right?
Yeah.
While there, she went to the city for a few days and got a nose job.
Oh my God.
When she returned, she told her new friends that she had a surfboarding accident because she had like a little bandage on her nose.
Yeah.
After spending 43 days on the run, Caitlin was apprehended by the US Marshals. Police had caught their first lead when they found footage of her and her yoga mat at the airport wearing, and she was wearing a mask, but they saw this footage and she's carrying around this yoga mat. Mm. Like, Lockie, why the heck did you take this mat? Like, just freaking leave it at home and buy a new one.
Yeah, it's like emotional support mat or something.
Literally, like, I do not understand this. Anyway, and this was a clue to them because they started thinking, like, where would she go with the yoga? Like, obviously, the yoga, she's going to incorporate yoga into her new alias, you know?
Yeah.
And this town she went to was known as, like, a yogi sort of town. So investigators sent, like, another, like, undercover investigators there to find her. And they were asking around if there were, like, any new yoga teachers in town. And that's how they tracked her down. So she literally gave away
the biggest clue to finding her.
But she focused on getting a nose job.
Yes.
Like, you idiot.
And why stay the one? You know, can I just say something, right? I honestly think she successfully could have gone on the run for a lot longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the stuff she did was so stupid.
Mm.
So when they got access to her phone data, this is while she had been on the run, right? They found that she had been keeping an eye on the investigation by searching hers and Mariah's name regularly. She also searched a bunch of random stuff. But my absolute favorite search was, if pineapples could burn off your fingerprints.
Oh, my God.
What?
Is that like a thing? Do people think that happens?
I have no idea. I actually should have Googled it myself. But from my everyone that reads this dies. So I'm pretty sure that you cannot burn off your fingerprints with pineapples. And not only that, but even if you could, you still have DNA.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck do fingerprints? Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just, oh, it's so funny. Like, she's smart, but some of the stuff she did was so dumb. Yeah, right? So leading up to the trial, Caitlin's lawyer tried to make out like Caitlin had an alibi. They made out like Caitlin was just on a holiday and she was hiding from Colin because she was so scared for her life, thinking that he was actually the killer.
I hate the lawyers like that, that, you know, they don't care about, like, the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. And not only that, but when her lawyers were asked, like, what is her alibi then, they'd say, like, oh, it's not our job to produce it. Like, obviously, there is no freaking alibi. She didn't have an alibi.
Yeah.
For this. And it's more than obvious that she was on the run.
Yeah.
Like, and not only that, who the heck goes on holidays and then, like, lives in, like, a hostel for, like, I don't know, like, really cheap. You're sharing, like, a room with all these other people and then you go and get a nose job. Like, this does not make sense.
No.
So while awaiting her trial, Caitlin faked an injury and was taken to see a doctor. After the appointment, she attempts to escape. And there's footage of this. I'm so posting it because it's so funny.
God,
right?
She just won't give it up, will she?
I know. But she made a pretty decent run for it, right? She scaled a massive fence as the guards struggled to keep up. One of them actually slips while they're, like, chasing her. Because I feel bad. She's pretty fit. And apparently while she was in, like, you know, in jail at the time, she was working out like crazy and stuff like that. So I feel like this was premeditated, right? She managed to get her pants off, which revealed that she was wearing a pair of leggings underneath. So it was totally planned, but she was quickly caught.
Yeah.
In November 2023, Caitlin pled not guilty to first-degree murder in Mariah's death. During the trial, we would find out a little bit more information. It seems as though Caitlin began following Mo on Strava on May 9th. So this is the day before Mo gets to Texas.
Yeah.
Since Mo didn't have the safety feature activated, it's believed that Caitlin used this to track her. On the 10th of May, Caitlin looked at Mo 4 times. Caitlin also had access to all of Colin's phone contents and messages through the shared iPad and laptop. Because remember, they had that business together and she was sort of working as his manager. So I don't know if this guy just didn't realize the access she had. Because, yeah, all right, he's changed Mo's name in his phone and he deletes their messages. But Caitlin can see all everything coming through on the iPad.
Yeah, and I think when you delete them from one device, you can't. It doesn't delete from everything.
Yes.
So, like, he'll delete them from his phone, but they're still going to show up on, you know, the iPad or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But do you think that he just had no idea how hardcore she was going into this? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think he was clueless.
Interesting. But you know what's funny? I think that he had a friend. Like, he must have had some clue because I don't know if he had, like, a friend a few years back or during their relationship, right? And he had said to her, like, no, me and this girl are just friends, right? And then Caitlin sent him a photo of, I don't know if she was topless or if she was in a bikini, of this particular girl that she had sent to him. And he's like, what the heck? Like, how did she get that? Like, obviously, I don't know how he didn't put two and two together that she's fully reading all his texts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, another thing that came out is that Mo had sent Colin Cash's address that afternoon, and immediately after that she had sent Colin this text, Caitlin checked Mo's activity on Strava, like her Strava account.
Yeah.
So that sort of shows that she definitely was keeping track.
Taps on her, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Footage from the burger place showed Mo and Colin eating, but it did not reveal anything romantic. So, I mean, this footage hasn't been released and the whole trial isn't available. I think just opening and closing arguments were made available to the public. But it is, from all reports, it just says that they were just, like, it just seemed like they were friends. There was no, like, hand-holding or kissing or anything yeah. like that, right?
Yeah.
Mo had sent her last text at 9:13 p.m. to a podcaster, and this was about 35 minutes after she arrived home. It's believed that she must have forgotten to lock the door because, remember, I was saying through that app that it tells you when the door's locked and unlocked. Like maybe she just thought that it automatically locks after, or, you know, maybe there's reports that Cash has said that she had told Mariah to bring in, she had some bag outside, like her bike bag, and she said to Mariah, like, hey, bring that in so it doesn't get stolen. And when Cash got home that night, that bag was sitting like at the bottom of the stairs. So it had gone even further away from the apartment when she got home. So did she leave it open in her mind thinking like, oh, I've got to go back out to get that bag? Who knows? But she didn't lock the door behind her.
Yeah.
And it's believed that Caitlin entered the house, prompting Mo to seek refuge in the bathroom. So she ran for it. And there's also reports that there was like a graze to her finger. So she did try to like protect herself from the bullet. Oh, so sad, Lockie. It's actually really sad, yeah. right? During the trial, a Ring doorbell video was played, and this is available online. I'm in two minds about, like, posting it. I think if you want to see it, you can definitely jump online. And it's, as I said to you, it's available on YouTube. But it captures clear screams before two consecutive shots and then the final shot at 9:15 p.m. And you can clearly hear Mo screaming.
Yes, there's just so much evidence.
Yes,
she's still
exactly right.
pleading not guilty.
Yes. The jury took only 3 hours to return with a guilty verdict, and Caitlin was sentenced to 90 years. Now, both Cash and Mo's mum, Karen, delivered victim impact statements. These are available on YouTube. They are absolutely heartbreaking, but Lockie, they honestly displayed like so much grace. Surprisingly, both express kindness towards Caitlin, which I guess it just sort of shows that the sort of people that she surrounded herself with.
Mm.
And one of the things in particular that her mum says is, quote, she would have cared about your feelings. You should have faced her. And I pray for your healing. Mm. So that is the story of Mariah Wilson. There's so much on her. As I said, I will pop lots of stuff on our Instagram. She was amazing. Her family seems amazing. I think they're actually working towards making a I should have actually written this in my notes. I don't know if it's like a charity or like a non-for-profit organization in her name, which I will – oh, I have a look online actually, and I'll pop some links to that so you can have a read about that as well. And, yes, that is our case this week.
Crazy one.
So crazy.
So if you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review, head to our website to purchase some merch, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/caffeinecrimeandcanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.